Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Let's read this scripture, if we may. Exodus 3 to 2, and going through to chapter 4, verse 5, missing out on a few scriptures as we go in the middle. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go and see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses. Here I am, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptian, to lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? And God answered, I'll be with you, and this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. But Moses protested, If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they'll ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? And God replied to Moses and said, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent you. Now go and call together all the elders of Israel. Tell them, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me. He told me, I have been watching closely and I have seen how the Egyptians are treating you. I promised to rescue you from oppression in Egypt. I'll lead you to a land flowing with milk and honey. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand forces him. So I'll raise my hand and strike the Egyptians, performing all kinds of miracles among them. Then at last he will let you go, and I will give the Egyptians to look favorably upon you. They will give you gifts when you go so that you will not leave empty-handed. But Moses protested again, What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if I say the Lord never appeared? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? Then the Lord asked him, What is that in your hand? Moses replied, A shepherd's staff. Throw it down on the ground, the Lord told him. So Moses threw the staff and it turned into a snake, and Moses jumped back. Then the Lord told Moses, Reach out and grab its tail. So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. Perform this sign, the Lord told him, and they will believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, really has appeared to you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for the richness of your word. Lord God, we just thank you that there's so many aspects of this scripture that we've read this morning that have truths that we could apply to our lives. But Father, as we look at just that one line, what is it that you have in your hand? Father, I pray this morning that you would challenge us in our own faith. You would counter our unbeliefs and doubts. That, Lord God, that we would see what you've placed in us through your eyes. And that we this morning, Lord God, would allow your grace and your anointing to bless what you've placed in our hands, that we might do the works that you've called us to do. So, Father, have your way this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we focused on that question, whose hands are you holding up? Or who's holding up your hands? This morning, the next question, and it flows on from last week, is, well, what's in your hand? Or we could say, what's available to you? What's at your disposal? What's in your possession? When you think about it, that rod, that staff, that stick was nothing special. It was just a piece of wood. Now, I know that this is a piece of wood because in 1980, on the banks of Lake Eildon, in a little cove, Chris and I were sitting there. I think we had one child and one baby, or that'd be two, wouldn't it? I was sitting out. It was freezing cold. I had my coat on and my hat on, and I was sitting there with a pocket knife, and I whittled this. I shaped it, shaped my finger hooks, and I used it to walk around the mountains of Lake Eildon. And that's been with me for that long. What is that? That's 32 years. 33, 34, 35, 32, 34 years. But it's just a stick. It's just a piece of wood. What's significant about Moses' staff is it was in his hand at the time. It was what was in his hand. God wasn't interested in what Moses didn't have. And that's the same with us today. God's not interested in what we don't have. You imagine if God would say to us right now, what don't you have in your hand? You know, I can imagine the excuses that would come up. I don't have enough money. I don't have a good education. I don't have a high social standing. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I don't have a job. I don't have a partner. I don't have a car. Or the list can go on and on and on. See, God never directs our attention to what we don't have, because by doing that, that would just justify our unbelief and our inadequacies and start to make them bigger than what they are. Even though to us, what we have in our hand might seem small or insignificant, God is more interested in that than what we are. You think of the story, and there's so many stories. As I started to put this sermon together, my mind just walked through the Bible, and I looked at all the stories that I could remember of just the miracles of God and what God used to do those miracles with those people. Think about the little widow woman in 2 Kings. Her husband died, and the Bible says that he left her in so much debt that they were going to take her two sons as bond slaves until they worked off the debt. She called Elisha the prophet. And when Elisha the prophet came, he didn't run down the list of negatives. Well, what a miserable husband you had. How dare he leave you in debt? Didn't he get life insurance? He wasn't a very good provider, was he? That wasn't what Elisha did. Instead of running down the negatives, he said, what is it that you have in your house? She said, and again, very interesting, I don't have anything. Immediately her mind looked at it in the big picture and looked at the problem that they were facing and couldn't see the answer to the problem. But I do have a little jar of oil. Prophet Elisha said, go around to all your neighbors, ask them for all their empty jars, get as many as you can, and they're not little Vegemite jars. These were jars, big jars. Get as many as you can, then go inside your house, shut the door behind you and your sons, and start pouring oil into the jars. And as each jar is filled, the Bible says, the prophet said to put it to one side. Now, of course, we could talk about obedience. Of course, we could talk about faith. But just think about that and keep it in your mind. We're talking about what have you got in your hand this morning. The Bible says that the woman did as she was told. She shut the door behind her and her sons, and they just kept bringing jars to her, and she kept on pouring. When all the jars were full, The Bible says she spoke to one of her sons and she said, "Bring me another jar." But the reply was, "There aren't any more left." And it was then and only then that the oil stopped flowing. After doing what the prophet had told her, she went back to the prophet and told him that the jars were full. He said to her, "Now go and sell the oil. Pay your debt, and what you have over will be enough for you and your sons to live on." She obeyed the prophet. She went from nothing to more than enough. She went from debt to having a surplus. She went from stressing to blessing because she did what the prophet had told her to do. You see, the thing is that we have to understand it's not what we don't have in our hand, it's what we do have. God, right now, in every one of our circumstances, individually and corporately, has given us everything we need to get the job done. We just have to use it. Even though what we have in our hands seems small, might seem weak, might seem insignificant in our eyes, it's when we lean on and trust in God's power, it's when we allow His anointing to flow, that big things start to happen. It's not our ability, it's not our knowledge, it's not our brain size, it's not our talent, it's not the size of our gift or the amount of money that we have. It's not even the beauty of the gift that matters. All that matters is how much of God's anointing is in the stick. How much do we trust God to place His anointing upon the stick to do what He said He wanted us to do? That anointing is the supernatural power of God operating through something that's natural to produce something that is not humanly possible. You know, when Chris asked us to pray or lay hands on people, who are we to do that? What's in the hand? What's in even the prayer? Nothing without the anointing of God. And if we don't do it, then we're not allowing God to move by His power. We need to ask God to anoint what's in our hand. When God anoints what we have in our hand, can I tell you, miracles happen. When Moses lifted up that staff over the Red Sea parted. When Moses struck the rock with his stick, the Bible says it caused a river to flow that quenched the Israelites. Now, we're not talking a cup for one person or two people. We're talking more than 1 million, some say 3 million, some say 5 million people. That's a lot of water. All because Moses allowed the anointing of God to come upon a stick, just a wooden stick, anointing flowed. You know, God can do anything. He can anoint a donkey to speak to a prophet. He anointed an axe head of iron to float to the surface so that the prophet could take hold of it. He caused a little pot of oil to multiply till it met every need and more. He used a rock and a little piece of leather held in the hand of a little shepherd boy to drag down or to knock down Goliath. He anointed Aaron's rod to bud, to blossom, and to produce almonds overnight. You know, we skip through these accounts in the Bible and we read them, ho-hum, ho-hum, and yawn. But when you start to think about it, when you start to think about a stick budding, blossoming, and producing almonds overnight. That's a miracle. As I've already said, Moses' rod on its own had no life. It had no energy. It was just a piece of wood. Just a piece of wood until Moses surrendered it to God. It was then that the power of God fell upon it. It was then that the anointing flowed. It's only as we surrender ourselves to God that His power can be manifested through us. Too many times, I think, we hold back. Too many times we're unwilling to give up what we have. Maybe because of past hurts, maybe because of doubt, maybe because of unbelief, maybe because of God, please use somebody else. I don't want to make a fool of myself. Maybe because we limit God because we're comfortable in our own skin. God, I'm happy doing what I do. I'm happy coming to church once a week. I'm happy just doing what I do. I didn't sign up for all that miracle stuff. I just signed up to be a Christian. I just want eternal life. Maybe we don't hand over because we don't understand what's going to happen and we need to see it before it happens. Maybe we don't sign up because we like being in control of what we have and what we know. And by stepping out, all of a sudden, we're not in control. God wants to give us something new. God wants to give us something greater. But to do that, we have to surrender. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it will not produce fruit. You know, I often think about those buildings where you can't get to a floor unless you go down to another floor. And sometimes we've got to lay something down to go higher. Yet laying something down means stepping out, means risk, means letting go and letting God. Now, I have a little green dot on my notes here because as I was praying and reading through this morning, I really felt that God wanted me to stop right there and pray for people and then move on. If you've been holding back, if you've been challenged by God to let go or to do something and you haven't done it, if you're sitting there right now and you can have a look at your little checklist and you say, yeah, God spoke to me about that and I didn't do it. Or that you've got fear or doubt or unbelief or something like that in your life, but you know that you know that you know that God wants you to go further. I want you to stand right now. This is not drag you down the front. This is not embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. God told me to do that right now. So just stand where you are if you know you've been holding back. If you've got fear in your life, if you've got that sense of, hey, God, I just don't know whether I can. If you've got that I want to be in control thing, I just like being in control of my destiny. All right, I reckon there's a lot more than you should be standing. Father, I pray right now for these that are standing. Lord God, these are the ones that are laying down. These are the ones, Lord God, that are literally throwing their stick on the ground right now. Lord God, I know that it is a stick in their eyes. I know, Lord God, they know where it came from. Father, I pray that you would turn their stick right now into a serpent. Lord God, that they would see right now a manifestation of change take place in their circumstances, in their lives, in their doubts, in their unbeliefs, in their fears. Then, Lord God, as they pick that stick up again, as they start to act on your word, I pray that you would anoint that again and that you would turn it back into a rod. But this time it's a rod, Lord God, of anointing. It's a staff, Lord God, that you want to use. It's a stick, Lord God, that might just look like a stick to anybody else, but they know that they know that they know that you've spoken to them. Father, minister through each of one of these that are standing right now. And Lord, I look forward to hearing testimony of breakthrough, testimony of deliverance, testimonies, Lord God, of provision and supply, testimonies of healing, Lord God. as they step out of their comfort zone in obedience to you. Lord, let there be a breaking forth of your power. Let words of knowledge, words of healing, Lord God, let there be insight come upon each of these right now. God, move by your power, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You know, the rod became the symbol of God's authority and power, the instrument by which God used when God's word and will was enforced. And I think that's the same today. It's through us who carry the Spirit and the Word that God wants to enforce his will. You know, God told Moses what he was going to do. He told Moses how he was going to deliver Israel. He even told Moses what Pharaoh would say and do. But Moses still had to act. He still had to go. He still had to stretch out his rod, even though it was going to bring discomfort. In like fashion, God's word reveals his will to us. But we have to speak it. We have to act upon it. We have to do it. And unfortunately, I think sometimes we hold back because we're overthinking it and worried about the outworking of it rather than just acting and doing in obedience what God has told. Every time Moses stretched out his rod, it was a type of Moses speaking the word of God out of a believing heart. Just as Moses and the rod was used as God's instrument for bringing his power against Egypt, his power to set the Israelites free, today I believe that we have God's rod. We have God's anointing to see those that are bound by the enemy set free. And it's time that we start to exercise it. I think one of the greatest problems is that we tend to underestimate what God has given us. I only have a little pot of oil. There's only a couple of loaves and some fishes. I only have a little rock and a slingshot. In each case, their little was enough. When they put it into God's hands, when they allowed God to anoint it, things happened. Have a think of Samson. Samson was assaulted by the Philistines. There was no superior weapons of quality or design to be found around him. He started looking around for something, anything that he could use. And there on the ground was the jawbone of an ass. And with that jawbone of an ass, he slew 1,000 men. What made that jawbone Samson's weapon of choice? It wasn't its material. It wasn't its superior design. It wasn't because everyone else had one and I have to have one. The answer is really, really simple. It was there. It was available and it was within reach. When the angel appeared to Moses as a fire in a bush, what made that bush God's choice to manifest himself through? This is how my brain works. I sit there and read these stories and why that bush? You know, it wasn't any special kind of wood. It wasn't like the candles that you buy that don't ever go out. It wasn't a beautiful bush, it might have been. It wasn't like the Ada tree out near Powelltown that everyone drives to go and see. It was just a bush. A bush that was there that God used because it was available. You know, God's not looking for greatness. He's not looking for beauty. He's not looking for perfection. All God needs is for us to make what we have available to him. Let's go back to Samson. When he looked at that jawbone of the ass, he saw something that no one else had seen. He saw an instrument of mass destruction. And that's what it was when it was in his hand. Had he looked at that jawbone and thought, no way, I'm going to kill 1,000 people with that, then he probably would have died at the enemy's hands that day. And I believe that many of us walk around defeated because we allow the enemy to cause us to despise the gift, despise the talent, despise what God has put in our hands. Many of us are like that servant who was so scared of the master that he went and buried his talent. Buried his talent because in his eyes he didn't want to get into trouble. Holy Spirit, I think, is saying to us, it's time to dig up that talent. It's time to not despise what God has placed in our hand. It's time to allow the anointing of God to fall upon his promises to us. It's time for us to realize that if God can do something with a stick, if God can do something with the jawbone of a donkey, if God can do something with a slingshot and a rock, if God can do something with 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread, or is it the other way around? Doesn't matter. He can do what he wants to do with us. So this morning, what's in your hand? Can I tell you that what you have in your hand as individuals, as a corporate body, is all you or we need to fulfill God's purposes, and then some? It's going to be like that oil pot. It's not going to be just enough. It'll be pressed down, shaken together, and running out all over. Let's offer everything. Let's offer all we have. And let's allow the spiritual principles of God to outwork. Because I believe, and I believe it with all my heart, that God wants to use you. He wants to use me. He wants to use LMC. He wants to use Oxley. He wants to use Oxley Kids. He wants to use what we do on this property to be a miracle in our community, in our city, in our nation, and even beyond. I'd like us to take communion this morning. And I'd like you to, can we distribute communion, please? I'd like you to hold in your hand that communion this morning. And I'd like you to think of that question as you hold it in your hand this morning. What's in your hand? Josh, if we could have the worship team up, please. What does a glass of juice and a little bit of wafer represent? What is it that you hold in your hand? Because the question around communion is the same as the question that God asked Moses. Same as the question that Elisha the prophet asked the widow lady. You see, significantly, what we have in our hand represents everything. And I really mean it this morning. I want you to really consider it. Ephesians says that in your hand you hold every spiritual blessing. As Narelle said at communion last week, once and for all. There is authority in here. Behold, I give you power and authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the work of the enemy, and nothing in any way shall harm you. There's provision. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be given unto you. My God shall supply all my needs. There's forgiveness. There's healing. there's love. You see, even as we take communion, you can apply the anointing of God to your life. What's in your hand? We ain't got to. We're going to sing this song. I'd like you to listen to it this morning. It's a song that, believe it or not, the year 12s sang to us at the end of their valedictory dinner. And it's a beautiful song. Just in time, Sky. It's called Oceans. It talks about walking on water. It talks about trust without borders. It talks about allowing God to anoint you if you would give Him everything. Hold your elements today and just allow your thoughts to be around what's in your hand.